Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the newest installment of Rockstar 101. His name is Brandon. He's the DJ.
His name is Shim. He's the Rockstar. Class is in session. And something that I've been doing recently, I'm a big Disney fan slash theme park fan. And there's a YouTube channel called Defunct Land that kind of talks about rides that don't longer exist anymore or even theme parks that don't exist anymore. And there was one that was on Australia's Wonderland, and I'm curious if you ever went to Wonderland, the theme park in Sydney.
Yeah. Wonderland was a big deal when I was growing up. Like, I think I went two or three times when I was a kid. It's like Disneyland. It's the closest that we have in terms of Sydney. If you go up to the Gold Coast, which is like the main tourist area, when people come to Australia, they're like, oh, we're going to the Gold Coast. Sydney, Melbourne, and the Gold Coast. It's usually the main place that people hit when they're going tourist hunting sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's got like Warner Brothers Movie World and Wet n Wild and all these amazing theme parks. In Sydney, there was, when I was a kid, it was Wonderland. That was it. And it was kind of an independent thing where it wasn't Warner Brothers based. It wasn't Disney based. It was just Wonderland, but it was a big deal. So yeah, there was roller coasters and all the good stuff. It was a traditional massive theme park. And I think I know what you're going to bring up, but why don't you go ahead and tell me?
Oh, I was just going to, I just wanted to know if you'd ever been there, because the other thing too is it just kind of eventually went away. And there was a lot of questions as to why Wonderland didn't survive anymore, because a lot of people enjoyed Wonderland, and it was really random where all of a sudden rides just weren't operating and they were shutting down sections of the park.
Well, do you know why?
From what I have seen, is it was poor management and they didn't know what they were doing.
Oh, is that what you read?
At least that's what I've seen online. But if it's that's not the case, then tell me.
They did a good job covering it up then. What I heard, and everyone was talking about it, and I think it was at Wonderland. It happened at a couple of other theme parks as well. A kid fell out of a roller coaster. It was massive news, and I don't think he died. I think he was okay, but he was injured, and everybody freaked out. Some stupid person, I think, I'm not 100% sure, but what I heard when I was in school, because everyone's talking when you're in school, was that someone let a kid on that was too short. He slipped out of the roller coaster when it was going over a loop, and hit the ground, and then they shut the whole park down, national news, and then when they reopened the park, people just didn't want to go anymore. They just didn't feel safe. And so then they had to start shutting down sections of the park and consolidating, and eventually the park shut down.
Interesting. That wasn't even mentioned in the video that I had watched.
Yeah. No, they... Maybe it never got outside of Australia, but I think I've heard of it. It's happened at a couple of other theme parks, and it's horrible when it does. It's like, I mean, it's horrible, but like Wonderland was one of those parks, and because it was independently run, I mean, I can't imagine anything like that happening at Disney, and if it did happen at Disney, you can imagine they'd probably find a way to recover, but Wonderland didn't recover.
Interesting. Yeah, that it didn't even get brought up, and I'm actually Googling it right now. And I Googled Wonderland Sydney kid fell out of roller coaster, and it comes up with articles from other places or a Wonderland that's here in the United States, not the one down in Australia. Because the way that this video made it sound was Wonderland was amazing. Everybody loved it. It was this just awesome theme park that was really a part of people's childhood. And then when it sold at one point, and it just kind of, with poor management, they didn't know what they were doing, because eventually I believe they got the rights, this was years ago, to be able to use some of the Marvel products, because the sign out front, I believe, had Spider-Man and the Hulk on it. So they were able to use some of that stuff, but the way that it worked out was, well, they just managed it poorly and it went out of business is kind of what it said.
Well, maybe that's what happened later, but that was what I, and like I said, I'm pretty sure that's what happened. I might be mixed up, but that's pretty, I mean, it might, but yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what happened. But anyway, what makes you bring that up?
Oh, just
like Wonderland. Because, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, before we started the podcast, Brandon said he had a few things to talk about. Do we want to go through them? Do we want to send links and stuff? I asked, like, should we be talking? He was like, nah, I just got some stuff to talk about, and I just said, let's roll. So what makes you bring up theme parks all of a sudden?
Because it's something that I've been into, obviously my entire life, but more recently I've really been watching a lot of YouTube videos. I've been watching a lot of the rides that you get to go on in other countries across the world. You know, like the Disney parks that are over in China and Japan and France and stuff like that.
Is this a hobby or is this like work related?
No, this is a hobby. This is what I do in my spare time.
Okay. See, I was about to say, like, your life and your job makes no sense.
It
makes no
sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people.
We talked about it on a previous podcast. You take naps. Thank God, since we last spoke about it, you have not mentioned your naps. I'm the one bringing it up right now. But you take naps during the day, and then on your off time, you're a YouTube junkie. A theme park YouTube junkie.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Brandon Coates, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm telling you, man.
Hey, you know, so are you going to be one of these people? I remember when I was on Capitol with the puppies, there was a radio rep who was, someone was making jokes about this couple who would vlog. You would love it. You got to look them up. I don't know their name. I don't know where they're from. I just heard about them. This couple that would vlog, they were retired. They were 55, whatever it was. And their retirement thing, they didn't travel to Spain and go to fancy villas. They did tours of theme parks. They did tours of roller coasters specifically. Their goal was to go on every major roller coaster in the world before they died. And they were doing it. They would go on these trips around the world and tour roller coasters. And someone else with us was like, that's the lamest thing I've ever heard. That's stupid. That's childish. And the radio rep, Bill Carroll, who was a dear friend of mine, he was like, dude, those guys know what's up. Mm-hmm. They've got it made in the shade. They are still living like they're 10 years old. They're focusing on just having fun. And that's their retirement, is like just going and having the best time. I mean, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard, that your retirement plan is to go on every roller coaster that's ever been made that's still running. I mean, is that what you're going to be, Brandon? Are you going to be the old man with the cane hobbling up to a bloody roller coaster like, yes, I'll have a turn?
I highly doubt it. I don't think, because I do want to travel. I mean, when I'm retired, my goal is to travel. I don't think I would go quite down that path. I wouldn't mind seeing other theme parks. The theme parks that I'm obviously part and partial to are the Disney parks, because that's what I grew up on. When I was a kid, my parents would take us down to Disneyland. I lived in Florida for 8 years. I was able to go to Disney World. Universal has become amazing as well. But watching this YouTube channel called Defunct Land, and they're talking about things that people had forgotten about. There was like a teenage nightclub in Disneyland back in the 80s called Videopolis. And the whole point was, it was, you know, preteens and teens would go dance. And it was even to the point that for the locals, they had a season pass where it was like $45 or something like that, which is just freakishly cheap. And the one stipulation was you couldn't come into the park until after 6 p.m. So the point was they were basically selling these tickets to the teenagers who were going to come in to come hang out at Videopolis. They had a TV show that was wrapped around it. They even created a Videopolis East that was located in Disney World at the Pleasure Island area near downtown Disney. So I just get sucked into these black holes watching this stuff because it interests me. Like, Disney itself interests me.
Isn't that a bit creepy to have a preteen teenage club? And if you're asking, hey, where do I find the club? They say it's just next to Pleasure Island. Isn't that a bit creepy?
Well, it was in Pleasure Island.
Gross.
And I don't think... I can't remember if I think the Videopolis East was more patterned towards adults, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. But the one that was in California, and it was this big thing because they opened theirs to compete with Knott's Berry Farm's version, which I want to say one was called Studio Q, and there was another one in Knott's Berry Farm over in California, and they had two clubs there, I believe it was. And Disney saw that. And they saw that it was successful.
What was the deal with these clubs? So it was like themed, like Videopolis. Was it? It sounds like it was something out of Back to the Future. Did it look like an old video store? Had video games? What was the deal? Like, why were teenagers attracted to it? Or it was just a club that didn't have alcohol so the kids could go?
It was, from what I could tell, it was really kind of like he had the old MTV dance shows where they have Downtown Julie Brown and stuff like that, where it was just nothing but music playing, and it was them filming people dancing. And that's kind of what these were. And they would bring in celebrities, and they would do these celebrity interviews. It was all patterned towards that demographic. And it lasted, I think it was 1985 to 1989, until they eventually shut it down. Because what happened is it kind of split the area amongst the teenagers, where the rich hoity-toity kids went to Disneyland, whereas the working class kids went to Knott's Berry Farm because it was expensive to go to Disneyland. And then eventually the gangs started to show up, like actual gangs, and there was a murder in the Disneyland parking lot.
Wow, now we're talking. Now it's getting interesting.
And so eventually it led to they flipped the area that was Videopolis to something else temporarily, and they were going to reopen Videopolis, but ultimately they decided, if we're done with this, we're not going to run this thing anymore. And then if you go to Disneyland now, you have the Fantasy Theater, which is where they have the storybook show with Mickey, where he jumps into the book and he's got the paintbrushes and stuff. That's the area where Videopolis was located at. It's right before you get to Toontown, right next to It's a Small World.
It's funny.
Do you have any clue what I'm talking about here?
The funny thing is that when you were talking about Toontown, and I actually was like, I know the geography well enough. I've been to Disneyland just enough times to know the geography. I don't know if that makes me cool or lame.
It makes you cool, man. It makes
I'm
you
lucky
cool.
Living in you're borderline right now, dude. it's funny. I'm lucky because living in Hollywood and eventually meeting and becoming friends with a lot of people in the business, everybody knows someone that works at Disney or at the Disney park. So most of the time that I've gone, I've been able to get in for free, which is awesome. And so that means I was actually able to go to Disneyland and what's it called? California Adventure. Go and check that stuff out. That's awesome. What else do you have to talk about?
Did you know that they had a ride that was being designed for Disney where you were running from the paparazzi, and it was supposed to be a high-speed ride, and as they were designing it was when Princess Diana died in the car crash running from the paparazzi? And so what
now
happened?
They have an ending to the ride. That's good. You need a 3-part story. Yeah.
So what ended up happening was they took that ride. It eventually made its way into California Adventure when they first opened California Adventure back in 2001, except it was a completely different ride. It was slow moving, and it was really just a way for them to showcase the celebrities that ABC had contracts with, like Drew Carey, Tim Allen, actors like that, where it was just these really awkward looking caricatures of them on this really slow moving ride, because they took out all of the chase scenes and stuff like that because they didn't want to reference that, since Princess Diana had died 5-6 years before that.
So can I ask, let's flip topics for a second, because this interests me. How relevant was it in America that Princess Diana passed? When she passed, how much was the news? How big was that news?
It was pretty big. I remember it being everywhere.
Right. How did it affect you? Did you follow her? Did you know about anything that she did? Or was it just something you heard about?
I don't think it really affected me at all. I was too young. I think I was early teens, I think, when it happened.
Yeah. That's the funny thing. Like, I remember, and it was weird because, like, I remember it was the first time as a kid. I think I might have been 13. And it was the first time as a kid that I recognized in real time a generation gap, because Michael Hutchence from the band INXS, which is effectively an 80s band, like 80s, early 90s, and massive and awesome and amazing and Australian, and then Princess Diana, they both died around the same time, like within the same year. Mm-hmm. And I remember when it happened, I was just confused. I knew of Princess Diana, but I was 13. I did not follow any of the amazing things that she did. And I didn't listen to INXS because I was 13 and I was listening to grunge. So when they both died, my parents, my dad, and the woman that he was with, they both were like, oh, wow, this is like genuinely upsetting. They're really sad. Everyone, and I, all the kids at school were like, hey, did you hear this thing happened? And it was the first time I noticed that there's a significant generational shift that I'm starting to feel now, noticing like the fucking strangest thing is that you can hear bands talking about, like, let's bring up Greta Van Fleet, for example. Mm-hmm. And a kid goes, man, Greta Van Fleet's my favorite band. And I'm like, oh, so you like Zeppelin then as well? And they go, who's Zeppelin?
Oh, God.
And it just drives me crazy. It drives me crazy. And it makes me feel like a fucking old man, dude. Because I'm like, but the funny thing is, Zeppelin was so before my time. So before my time.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They were the 70s. So, like, but that's, it's just a weird thing. And I, maybe that's the way that you sort of, the one of the things that transcends that gap is cartoons and theme parks, mm-hmm. and that sort of stuff. Because kids can get into the old Mickey Mouse cartoons. They can get into DuckTales. They can get into, my thing that I was always confused that more kids didn't get into was the old Warner Brothers cartoons with Daffy and Bugs. Because mm-hmm. I lived on those cartoons, man. Duck Season, Wabbit Season was I was like, you know, Kill the Wabbit and stuff, like
kill
all
the
those
wabbit,
classic.
Kill the Wabbit.
Kill the Wabbit. It was like, that was my first introduction to opera. And then when I heard the actual opera, I was like, oh, there's another version of Bugs Bunny's song.
Yeah, because you think that Bugs did the original.
Yeah, and that was like, but that stuff, I'm looking forward to showing that stuff to my kids and getting them into it because I can watch it. It's not like fucking Paw Patrol where you got to sit through that shit. You know, like, but at least with the problem is that they started, you know, the reason that they're not playing it anymore, they're not playing Warner Brothers cartoons. They used to play them all the time on TV. They'd have shows for Warner Brothers cartoons. It's because of all the violence, because they had them shooting each other with guns mm-hmm. and blowing each other up with cannons and dynamite. And like, I remember the first time, I think it was my mom told me, like, oh no, I don't watch, Roadrunner and the Coyote, because all they do is hurt each other. Mm-hmm. And it didn't occur to me. And I don't buy that, man. I think it's like, it's clearly a cartoon. Maybe you're going to try it a couple of times and your parents hopefully are going to say, hey, stop, you don't do that. It's a cartoon. It's not real. And then that's it. Game over. You just keep watching the cartoon because they're cartoons. It's not like watching the news.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I never tried to, you know, take my roller skates and strap a rocket to my back to chase down the Roadrunner. I mean, that wasn't a thing that I did.
Yeah. But the thing is, it does incite your imagination. Like, I can imagine that my kid would pretend and imagine at the park that she's got roller skates on with a thing on her back, and she'd run around the park going and chase her brother, being, you know, the Roadrunner or whatever. They'd pretend and play, and it would inspire an imagination. But at the same time, I'm kind of full of shit because they run around playing Paw Patrol and they rescue people, and that's awesome as well. So mm-hmm. I just miss those cartoons. I'm looking forward to getting to the point where I'm sharing that stuff with my kid, but I find that generational gap comes a lot quicker now.
Yep.
With how fast everything's moving. That generational gap comes up every 5 years now. You got 10-year-olds that are like, you know, social media platforms dictate what generation you are or what if you're on Facebook, you're an old man, you know.
Yeah, or you're a Facebook person. Oh, my goodness. If you're a MySpace person, you're ancient.
Oh, yeah. Well, by the way, go to my Facebook. It's Shim Moore at Facebook.com at Shim Moore.
Actually, speaking of, we'll step in here really quick. We can plug the socials. If you do want to reach out to Shim, you can hit him up on Twitter. It is at Shim Moore, S-H-I-M-M-O-O-R-E. You can find me over on Instagram. It is Brandon_goat_coats. That is C-O-A-T-E-S. And I agree, I watched the Warner Brothers cartoons all the time when I was a kid. It got to the point that I watched so much Bugs Bunny, he got me to eat carrots. And I ate so many carrots, the tip of my nose turned orange.
That's bullshit.
No, it's not a joke. That is not a
that
joke.
That can't happen.
It can't.
How does that happen?
It's
that sounds like something out of a Bugs Bunny costume.
And it happened in real life. I ate that many carrots, the tip of my nose started to turn orange. But obviously, the other thing that was big for me growing up was Disney. We never had the Disney Channel when I was a kid. I mean, it existed, but we never had it. But then you know how Did you get those free trials for TV channels back in the day where for a weekend you got free HBO or you got free Showtime or something like that?
No, that didn't happen over here. We only had four channels when I was growing up.
We would get that.
That just made me sound so old.
Dude, I'm older than you are, but that's what we had. That's what we had where you would get a free weekend of Disney Channel, and my parents were brilliant because they didn't want to pay for the channels, so they would stock up on VHS tapes and just record the whole damn channel. And then when it came to plunk us down in front of the TV, my mom would put in the six-hour tape of the Disney Channel. And that's the stuff that I remember growing up, including going to the park, and there's that nostalgic feeling when it comes to it. So that's why I think I get sucked into these YouTube videos about things you may have forgotten or things that you didn't know about the Disney parks. And especially with some of these parks that are overseas, one of the things that I got to watching recently was what the Pirates of the Caribbean ride looks like in Shanghai. Because it's completely, completely different.
Oh, shit.
Because here in the States, between Disneyland and Disney World, you've got very similar rides. They're almost identical. Where over there, you can tell, because the Disney, I think it's called Shanghai Disney Resort, I think is what it's called. And it's only been open for a few years. I think it opened back in 2016. So you can tell that this ride was built after the movies because it's all patterned towards the movies. But there's points where your boat is moving sideways. It's moving backwards. There's even a dip, like a drop in the middle of the ride where you go backwards down the drop. So it looks awesome and it makes me want to go to these other parks because there's so much other stuff over there that you're not getting here in the States. And even, I think it's Disney Tokyo. It's not owned by Disney. That park is owned by the Oriental Land Company, and they just lease Disney's characters and movies and everything that's copyrighted from the Disney Corporation, and that's how that park operates. That's Disney awesome. Doesn't even own that park.
That's amazing. Can you imagine how much that would cost to lease Disney for an entire theme park? That'd be tens of millions of dollars a year.
Oh, easily. Jesus. Easily. Think about the copyrights that people pay here in the States. I mean, just for our radio station so that we can play music on the air, we got to pay the royalties for that. And that's just for the music. That's not all of Disney's entire catalog. I mean, there's a super cool one. I can't remember which park it's at, but there's one of the in over in Asia, there's a Tron roller coaster. Like, you know the light cycles in Tron?
Yeah.
It's you're on something like that, but it's a roller coaster, and it looks awesome, and it makes me want to go over there. But obviously that's kind of a pipe dream at this point because it's not very affordable to fly on over there and go check out the Disney parks. I'm limited to the States for right now.
Well, that's your retirement plan.
I just wanted to know, like, was there other parks down in Australia as well? You had Wonderland, which closed down, but is there things like that? You know, you having your kids now, they don't get to experience Wonderland. Is there other parks or other things like that that you are able to bring your kids up with?
There's a couple, but it's nothing compared to the States. I mean, or that's the thing about Australia, that's the good and the bad thing, is that Australia is like the small country town in terms of the countries of the world. Mm-hmm. Australia is like the small country town, just a little bit out in the sticks, where everyone's just a little bit slower, a little more relaxed. Everything moves a little bit, not quite as fast paced. And therefore, the theme park thing is like, we have like Jamboree Recreation Park, and there's like, you know, those stupid bloody jingles like Jamboree Recreation Park and whatever the hell it goes. And it's like, it's got like a handful of rides, but it's always
yeah,
like
that. Good.
Yeah, oh, it's copyright. It's got like a few rides, and it's usually mixed in with like an outback theme type of a zoo or something. So like there's an element where there's like, you can go and there's like a goanna cage section and there's some kangaroos, and like there's actually a lot of places, like smaller theme parks and things like that, that'll have like a animal section. You can go and like feed the kangaroos. They'll have some kangaroos that are hanging out, and I'm telling you, dude, it's funny, like tourists eat it up. For us, it's not a big deal. But they'll have a section where the kangaroos are not in cages. They have like basically a patch of grass. We went to one last weekend. It was funny. And they had like a whole bunch of jumping castles and a couple of thing like trampoline rides and stuff like that. Not roller coasters or anything like that. And there's just a patch of grass. And it's got all of the other animals in cages and all the usual stuff like a zoo. But then this patch of grass just has a sign on it that says kangaroo rest area. But then the kangaroos are just walking around eating everyone's food. Like they're literally going through people's bags and taking out the chip packets and ripping the chip bags open and just eating the town, chips. Huh? And going through this, just going to town, just eating them. And because the tourists don't know any better, they don't want, they like pat them, but they don't want to shoo them away because they're the same size as you.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not, it's kind of weird. Like they're very passive. They're very chill. They're not going to, even if you smacked one in the face and said, get away from my kid's food, they just take it and sort of walk off. Like it's not like that video where they're not, these ones are not aggressive, but they're walking around. Kids are feeding them. Everyone's feeding them. They're getting fat. They're getting lazy. That's kind of half of the theme park thing here. We've got Wet n Wild. The thing that I was really looking forward to doing, and I don't know if you ever got a chance to do it or you would wanted to do it, was take my kids to the Great Barrier Reef.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everyone knows of the Great Barrier Reef, obviously. The main thing of late is that the Great Barrier Reef has basically died, which you wouldn't think could happen until it happens and you go, of course it could happen. It's a living organism. It's an entire ecosystem. And basically, from the limited information that I have, with climate change happening, the temperature of the water in the in that area where the Great Barrier Reef is rose by 1 degree. And it rose by 1 degree for an entire season. And then it was able to recover for one season. The second year, it went back up to 1 degree hotter than it had been in history. And the ecosystem couldn't sustain that much of a temperature shift after how many millennia of living the way that it was living. And everything died. Everything just died. It couldn't find its balance. And the coral died and a lot of the sea life died or went away. And now it's just a bunch of white shells. They're all basically, it's dark, dude. It's weird. But one of my most favorite and vivid memories from growing up was, and it was totally not legit, dude. Like when you go scuba diving, you're supposed to go through a rigorous amount of training. It's very dangerous. It's all like, you know, it's important to know exactly how all the gear works and how long you have and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, they have classes here that take weeks for you to get your scuba certification.
This was just a guy. This was like a guy and a boat with some gear on the back, and he just sold tickets, and he was like, exactly. And they just were like, yep, come on over. You're going to get a 5-minute instructional course when we get to the reef, and off you go. Off you go, mate. Down in the water. And we did it, and we went down. And I swear to God, it was the one time I remember I asked my dad when we were there, I was down there for 20 minutes or whatever, tank emptied, went back up, and I said, can I go again? And it was like another $100 or whatever to go down for another 20 or 30 minutes. It was very expensive. And he was like, yeah, we're here, you know, like we're never really going to come back. This is the holiday. And I went down a second time, and it was like going into Avatar. It's unexplainable. I've been scuba diving other times where you're just underwater and you're floating around and you check out a couple of turtles and a couple of rocks. This was multicolored, fluorescent Avatar. I'm telling you, it's like walking into the movie Avatar. And it was, I swear to God, the only word that I could ever find to describe it was totally magical. I know that sounds super lame, but it was like magic. It was like unbelievable. And I remember I was only like 10 or something at the time, but I remember thinking, number one, I can't wait to come back. And I can't wait to come back with my kids. Like, this is one of my best memories as a kid. When I'm a dad, I'm gonna bring my kids here. And now the fucking thing's dead. And it's such a bummer because that beats any theme park straight up.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just beats every theme park. It was like life-altering sort of thing. Number one, it's beautiful. Number two, it takes you out of your headspace where you're worried about, you know, as a kid, you're worried about your toys or, you know, getting into girls or whatever.
Homework.
You know, homework, and if you're an adult now, you're worried about paying the rent, paying the bills, blah blah blah. This takes you out of that. It's like getting sucked out of the atmosphere and looking at the world through a microscope. And this is the same thing where it's like you realize how small and irrelevant everything ultimately is, and to have that experience is very humbling. And now the fact that it's gone, I can only imagine it would be a completely different experience to go down there now, because it sounds depressing, but you just see death. You just see death everywhere. So on that note, I think that's a great place to wrap up this podcast. On the topic of death. But we're going to be back next week.
All right. So on that note, no teases. Just tune in next week for Rockstar 101. His name is Shim. He's the Rockstar.
His name is Brandon. He is still technically the DJ.
Class dismissed.